you can't betray the long-term goal for the immediate reward, right? So that's a hard one for parents, I think, sometimes, because they'll want some immediate success with their kids, especially in sports, and they'll trade away something else for it, and they don't even realize they're doing it.
I love that.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
Joe DeSena here, Spartan founder and CEO, with a very close friend of mine, Aliyah Dakimahalis, happens to be Greek, happens to be the father of a bunch of great wrestlers. This guy is as intense as they come, but I happen to know, because I stayed at his house a few times, he does sleep on the couch every night. He is stuck to the couch, he's stuck to the TV at night, and I'm trying to rip him off it. That does not negate the fact that he and I have these really deep conversations about stuff like 10,000 hours. Is that what it takes to make somebody great? Aliyah, what are your thoughts on 10,000 hours?
So I read Gladwell's book, where, and I heard about it. So I read it, and basically the point of it is you practice 10,000 hours, and you know you're going to become an expert in your field. So I remember reading that thinking, okay. Right. So, and then I started doing the math, 10,000 hours. If you practice 10 hours a week, that's 500 hours a year. So you're talking about 20 years worth of work. Now it'll go, you know, go up and down. The younger you are, it'll be a little less and a little bit more. So sort of had it in my head. So somewhere in your mid 20s, right, you should be at the peak of whatever you do. If you start when you're, you know, in your early, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. So that kind of made sense to me because a lot of athletes peak around that time as well. So I sort of took it to heart, and then I, you know, with the boys, I'm like, okay, here's the idea and let's start working towards it. Did we count the hours? No. Did we sort of symbolically put up a little board where we put some marks in there? Yeah, we did that. But it was more the idea of like, of the long-term commitment to it. This is not an immediate, you're not going to get immediate gratification here. And we're going to commit to something long-term. I remember when John Kerry was running for president. He had some of that Swift Boat controversy, but I remember him saying that he joined the military because he thought it would look good on his presidential resume. And so there's a guy who thought about what he was going to do 20 or 30 years later, right? And he got damn close to getting there. So I think great things take a long time to do. They don't happen overnight. So to me, the 10,000 hour thing is more of this sort of long, is a symbolic idea of this long-term commitment to this goal. It's not something I'm going to do for a year or two. It's long-term, and I'm going to try to become an expert at it. So to me, the 10,000 hour thing, I'm sure it's real, the actual time put in. But for us, it was more of this symbolic idea of we're going to do this long-term, and we're going to try to get really good at it.
Yeah, I guess we see so many people. I know for me growing up, there'd be so many people that would try something for a week or a month or a year and then switch to something else, switch careers over and over and over. They didn't like this. They didn't like that. And I think what you're talking about is the antithesis of that. It's laying out a plan and then sticking to it, even if it takes seemingly forever.
And that's exactly it. Right. That's because, again, you weren't going to get to the peak of your powers, let's say, in the sport of wrestling till your mid 20s. And when my oldest, we started this when he was like 6, 7 years old. So and it was hard for him to understand. But as time went by, it was understood that this is going to be a long term goal. And that doesn't mean you have to wrestle in your mid 20s. But it did mean we're not going to be satisfied, or this isn't about you doing this in high school or doing this in college. It's let's see how this plays out. And if we really commit to something for a long period of time, how much you can achieve. And it wasn't metered by hours or by this accomplishment. It was more like, let's just keep doing our best.
That's a hard thing for most people to deal with, right? Most people want the cookie now. They want the marshmallow now. And if a year goes by and they still haven't seen the results, they probably tap out.
And that's so now we get into the sort of the 10,000 hour part of like the quality of practice. So when I notice a lot of people do, and me and you have talked about this a lot, is a lot of people check boxes. And by that I mean is, okay, I did these things, and it's more for them to just say that they did it than really be committed in the work that they did. And so what I find sometimes people in this sort of 10,000 hour argument is, I did all these things. Yeah, but did it help you at all? Or were you just sort of doing it to say that you did it? There's a difference. There's a difference between actually doing something with intent and really being focused and through attendance. And I sometimes think people confuse the 10,000 hour argument, and they confuse attendance with actual work. And that's a thing that it's hard to quantify, because if I run a mile, all right, it's a mile. But there's a difference to it, right? If you really did it with intent, as opposed to just, oh, okay, my dad told me to run a mile and I go, you know, and then I'm done.
The intent of the practice and the quality of it are almost everything to it. So going back to what you're saying about, if you do it right? If you, if your quality of practice is good and your focus is right, then I think you will have the intermittent success that you need. What happens is, wrestling is a sport where I think you do need to have some success, because it's hard just to get your head kicked in all the time. But if you're doing things right along the way, you should get some minor rewards, or not even minor rewards, you should get some rewards along the way. If you are sincere in the work and then you're doing things right? You still have to get quality coaching. But if you're doing things right, you should get some rewards along the way. It shouldn't just be absent, right? And so if you're not, there's probably something else going on wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talk about it. The ancient Spartans, right? They said, don't worry about the reward. Don't worry about, 100 years from now, if there's going to be a big temple built in your name. Instead, let's focus on the here and now and doing a great job every single day. And, the rest will come. But that's easier said than done.
It is. And I think for kids, they do need some minor rewards along the way, but I don't think, but you as a parent, or you as just, even if you just working with people, right? You got to script what those, you got to sort of frame what those rewards are. You can't you can't betray the long-term goal for the immediate reward. Right. So that's a hard one for parents, I think, sometimes, because they'll want some immediate success with their kids, especially in sports, and they'll trade away something else for it, and they don't even realize they're doing it.
I love that.
And people do that in real life as well, right?
I love that sentence, too. I don't betray the long-term reward with the immediate results. I really like that a lot, because, we believe in the marshmallow test, being able to just withstand the pain and suffering and the lack of reward in the immediate. Look, I made you get a little taste of it. I made you do a 50-mile hike. I somehow tricked you into it.
So I'm so mad at you. So what happened was, me and you were talking. I don't know. You and Joe, in a lot of ways, I have a great deal of respect for you, because even though you're incredibly annoying, that's being joke. But you live the life you preach. Right. And I think sometimes you overdo it, but that's a whole different discussion, but you do live it. And so a lot of times I was talking to Marion, and we were just saying, it's almost emasculating. You got to as a human, this guy is doing these things, and I am a couch sitter. I don't mind sitting on the couch for 6-8 hours at a time, watching some good TV. But at times you need someone to sort of call you out on it. Right. And I think you do a good job with that. I think you don't do it to demean someone. You're just saying, look, this is what you're capable of. In a jerk like you can do it, why can't I do it? And I think you're always asking that. You're sort of saying that to people, right? If I can do it, why can't you do it? And I think the beginning of it is, right, you need certain degrees of it, right? So just to get people moving and doing things, I think you do a great job with it. Now, what you did to me was, I think, incredibly wrong. So we were talking, and somehow Joe convinced me to do a
50-mile walk in the middle of the night. So I got a bunch of friends of mine who they were dumber than I was because I convinced them. And we walked, it was supposed to be 45 miles. Most of the guys made it. Me and a few guys didn't make it. We did 40. And to this day, my feet still don't function right. And I did it right off the couch. I didn't prepare. I didn't do anything. But we walked 40 miles through the night. And it was brutal. And to this day, my feet still hurt. So I blame you, Joe.
You did everything wrong. You didn't listen at all. But you got a little taste.
But
you got a little taste of it.
But I do. So here's the point, I think. Or to me, here's the point, right? And so if you're prepared, does really, and this is the argument I tell my children, or the points I make, not the argument, the discussions I try to get to, right? You gotta, the pain of it, right? As human beings, we run from pain, right? It's bad for us, right? But the sort of the definition of strength in my eyes, right? The definition of willpower, of self-control, is the ability to run towards pain, right? It's an incredibly powerful thing. Right. Because then you have complete control of yourself. Right. You have complete control. We're pain averse. Right. We're hunger averse. Like, so in the sport of wrestling, right, you're cutting weight in, you're not cutting weight in Africa. You're cutting weight in the United States where food's everywhere. Right. That's an incredible act of self-control. You know, doing some of the stuff that you do, it's an incredible act of self-control. And the more control we have over ourselves, right? The more free we are, because then we're really making decisions out of strength as opposed to our subconscious or whatever other things are pulling us, right? So the stronger we become, the more we be like, we sort of are comfortable running towards the fire, as I like to say, the better off we are. So even in doing that, it didn't bother me that I didn't finish, because I got so uncomfortable that I'm good with it, right? So even if you're in great shape like you or like me, there's a certain threshold of pain that I want to acquire, right? I think we need that. And for you, it's way further down the road than it is for me, but I got to where I wanted to go.
You think there's, yeah, one of the things I tell people, because I'm trying to do this on a mass scale, get 100 million people healthy, get them off the couch like I got you off the couch for a moment, is I say, you got to have a date on the calendar. You gotta commit. Like if your boys are wrestling and they know they have a tournament coming up, that changes everything, right? If you know you got to make payroll at the end of the week, that changes everything. And I think so many of us don't have something holding us accountable. They don't have a date on the calendar, and that doesn't mean you have to sign up for a Spartan race, which would be selfish on my part. You could sign up for anything that's going to challenge you, and that will force a change in behavior. You agree?
I do. We're uncomfortable with our own shame, right? My behaviors, I do a lot of things that are shameful, but I don't want to, I want to be uncomfortable in it, right? I don't want to rationalize all my behavior. So in these things, right, when you really get uncomfortable, when you have to sort of take a stand in your own life sometimes and say, I got to do this because I'm weak and I'm tired of being weak for these moments, right? I want to do something that sort of strips that away from me, and you need to do it. I think we all do. I do. I'm okay with being I understand my own frailty, and I need to find places where I sort of like acknowledge it and sort of try to get rid of it. And you know, it's not just about the fitness of it. It's the mental part of it. Like my, you know, I want to be uncomfortable. I want to feel my own shame. I want to feel my own sort of weakness, because that'll sort of, that at least motivates me. Oh my God. Cause sometimes we're really good at rationalizing and ignoring it. Right. And then when you get faced with it, you're like, oh my God, I'm such a loser. And that to me is a good feeling, because then I'll act on it. But we have to get ourselves there to do something about it, because we're always comfortable. We're never really, we don't acknowledge some of this frailty that we have, not just physically, but our own psyche, that we need to sort of move towards getting rid of.
Anytime I read a book or I see a movie about a character or a couple of characters that go through really hard times, they get stuck on a mountain, they go up against all odds or whatever, you find yourself, at least I do, putting myself in their shoes and kind of enjoying that suffering. So because I think you want it deep down inside, even though we run from it.
At Spartan, we build better humans. And this time we're tackling families. Do you want to raise resilient kids? Of course you do. 10 Rules for Resilience, Mental Toughness for Families is a guidebook. And it's written by Joe DeSena, along with his co-author, Dr. Laura Pence. Learn to be more resilient and to create a more resilient, grittier, stronger, happier, healthier family. Go to spartan.com/10rules. That's the number 10, spartan.com/10rules. We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Duralane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis, a disease that affects some 14 million Americans. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oaknepainrelief.com. You'll find information there about non-surgical, non-opioid treatments for osteoarthritis knee pain that may help delay the need for knee surgery. One treatment you'll find there is Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Duralane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oaknepainrelief.com. That's oaknepainrelief.com. All right, back to the interview.
I think we do. It's part, I really think, right, it's part of our DNA. We need those. I think sports, right, and me and you have talked about this, I think sports is a substitute for war, right? And the Greeks created the Olympics as a metric for war, right? So in our DNA, we have this idea for combat, for discomfort. It's there. And I think that's why sports is so important to us, because it's part of who we are.
Again, the scene in the movie, the chapter in the book, where the characters sit down at the table and they haven't had a meal in 4 days. The Revenant, if you've seen The Revenant with, Leonardo DiCaprio, where he comes upon the bear that was killed and he's eating the raw meat and blood is dripping. And I don't know, there's something about being that hungry that like is exciting. Is there's something nice about that as opposed to just so much abundance that you don't even appreciate it.
The way I think of it is this, right? Right. We don't make changes. You know, when you win the lottery or whatever great things happen to you, right? You don't audit yourself, right? So when you take an account of yourself is when things go bad, right? Oh, maybe I should start making some changes. So I think these things, like these races or things to do where you get yourself into that state where you're like you're at zero emotionally, physically, you create this kind of metaphoric bottom for yourself, and then you're able to sort of account of who you are physically and mentally, right? And we need those things. We need those resetting of our physical and spiritual selves, I think, every once in a while, just sort of like, okay, either I'm good or bad, or I'm not so, don't get so full of yourself. Here's your flaws. Acknowledge that they're there. Work on them. And then suffering, to me, is also creates humility, right? Because, right, the frailty of it, right? You can associate with someone else, right? When you're like you can sympathize and empathize with other people because you feel it, right? It's you're not this. It brings that like you can relate to other people because of it, even though you may not be poor, you may not be this or that, whatever the thing is. But by putting yourself in those situations when you're stripped raw at the end of a race or wherever the hell it is, right? Whatever the thing is, it could be playing the tuba for 12 straight hours. I don't care what it is, right? You get you acquire that humility and that sort of understanding of yourself. And I think helps you to associate
and relate to other people as well. Philosopher, right? Seneca. He was the wealthiest guy on the planet at that moment in time. He was Nero's advisor. And I think it was once a week, he would go live like a bum in the streets with nothing just to appreciate it and everything around him, and definitely built connections with other people, because then that shared suffering is an amazing way to connect. Like you and I didn't really connect when I was talking to you on the couch. But once I got you to do that 50 miles, then I started to understand you.
Well, and again, you can relate to it doesn't have to be specific to that kind of suffering. You could say, well, that person is hungry or is in need. I don't know directly what that feeling is, but I felt that 2 weeks ago in this dumb race or whatever it was, and I can relate to that, right? I got to the raw part of me,
And I think that would help us all a little bit. Certainly
December 3rd through 5th, if you're not chasing one of your sons in a world champion or championship or something, I'd love to have you in Abu Dhabi on a camel with me, and we'll go through the desert. We'll do 13 miles in the sand. What do you think?
I will do it tomorrow. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's gonna. So I'm putting you on the list of. We're inviting 300 friends and family to come out. We're gonna sleep in the desert.
I'm definitely coming.
Yeah, you're gonna get a falcon on your arm. It's gonna be unbelievable.
Oh, that'd be fun. But again, whatever the thing is, I will do it in a bowling alley, right? I don't. You know, sometimes I drive overnight just to feel that depravity that you need to, like, where you really just got to suffer. You just do. And because, you know, our lives can get pretty easy and we get a little full of ourselves and we get just a little detached from reality. And the more you create humility in your own life, and I'm in any way, right, the better off you are. I just think you're a better person, but I also think you become a more functional person, right? You'll be better at your job. You'll be better in your relationships because you acquire, like, you need it.
I was just going to say, for anybody watching this podcast, Aaliyah is a Greek and he speaks with his hands, and the phone has been in his hand for...
Oh, I'm sorry.
The phone has been in his hand for 25 minutes.
No, but like this, these are conversations I have with my boys all the time. And I think I could, and over the course of the last few years, they're starting to echo the things back to me, these kind of ideas. And I'm really happy about it because I think ultimately, you know, the whole goal, it reminds me of what was his name? Randy Pausch, right? So a few years ago, it's probably 8 or 10 years ago, this guy, he got on like the book circuit. He was on Oprah, but basically... He was a computer scientist. He's a professor at Carnegie Mellon, and I think he got pancreatic cancer, and he at the end of the year, Carnegie Mellon asked the professor to give a speech or just a lecture at the end of the year. Usually, it's just students. I'm sorry, just professors go to it, right? But somebody videotaped it, right? At the time, whatever the date word would be. So anyway, somebody recorded it, and so at the end he just gives a bunch of things what he thinks life's about. And I literally agreed with every one of the points he made, except for his love of Disney. But that's a different story. Anyways, so he goes to the whole thing, right, about what he thinks is important, how you get there, the whole thing. It goes on for a while. And at the end of it, he goes, you know, ultimately, this was not for you, professors. This was for my children. I'm going to die very soon. And I want this left behind for them as a
memoir, a guiding light.
Yeah. What's it called? An outline of how I think they should live. And so when I say these things and I do these things, whatever I do, my biggest concern is that my boys understand it, right? Is that I'm not doing this for me or for the rest of the world. I mean, certainly if it benefits, that's great. But ultimately, I want them to be strong enough that the minute I drop dead on my deathbed, they're going to be fine. And I know they're going to be fine. But these things that I've come to believe and I probably have always believed really revolve around trying to create strength of character in them. So they, you know, people make good decisions, not because they don't know the answer. People don't make bad decisions because they don't know right and wrong. They make bad decisions because they don't have the character to execute right and wrong. Right? We all know, don't steal, don't do these things, right? Do this, right? Show up to work, right? We know these things. We don't do it because we're not strong enough to do it. And so when we talk about like doing these walks or runs or wrestling or whatever the thing is, tuba playing, I don't care what it is, it's to create that infrastructure inside of you, that character inside of you, that no matter what the situation is, you're going to be fine. Right. And that's really the goal of this is to create strength of character.
I love the sentence to create the infrastructure inside of you and the strength. Like there's no doubt about it. It is hard to do the right thing all day, every day. It's hard.
But we know the answers to it. That's what makes it interesting to me. We know the answers. Work harder, you know,
don't do this, do this, right? If I gave true, false, people know what to do, right? It's the execution is the problem, right? We're not strong enough to execute it, right? And I'm not either. And so we know, hey, don't eat, like, you know, don't eat so much. Go get exercise. They're not, you know, these aren't secrets, right? And so, but the ability to do them, right, is character, right? And so I think that's important. And so, especially for my boys, the stronger they become internally, the better I feel.
I'm ending it with that because that is, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. You're awesome. Please, I hope you're only parked in the McDonald's parking lot for the Wi-Fi. Get out of there.
Yes.
You're awesome.
I'll see you soon.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at duralane.com.